chapter 6, starting to read at verse 27, Jesus is talking to his disciples. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And then God speaks through the writings of the prophet Hosea, chapter 11, the first 9 verses. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give up on you, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Nick. We join in prayer. Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. I wonder if we might start with a little bit of Hebrew this morning. Hesed, loving kindness. Harry Moveley, of blessed memory, member of this church and colleague of Keith's as tutor at the Baptist College in Old Testament, used to say, I think tongue-in-cheek, you don't need the New Testament. There's plenty of loving kindness in the Old. You can hear it in the words of the prophet Isaiah, lamenting the idolatry and injustice of God's people, expressing the desperately sad heart of God. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? Loving kindness. We habitually think of the God of the Old Testament as angry, vengeful, anything but kind. We read about slaughtered Amalekites, of an eye for an eye, the sword and the armies of the Lord. We like to think that there has been religious progress from those dark days through the revolutionary period of Jesus on into the increasingly enlightened history of the church. It mirrors our somewhat simplified view of history from the battles and wars of ancient Greece and Rome through the so-called Dark Ages on into the days of the so-called Enlightenment to the present age of reason. I fear that many these days look and see a church locked into that crude Old Testament view of God, all judgment and thou shalt not. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, set to come over here for a series of rallies, known in the States for his strong message of God's punishment on gay people. Already, two venues in this country have cancelled. The Church of England recently reiterating its traditional stance on marriage, widely seen as an attack on same-sex relationships and heavily criticized for it. In the States again, lots of evangelical support for Trump's so-called peace plan for Israel and Palestine. I'm reminded of those Old Testament words, "Woe to those who say peace where there is no peace." Whatever, Christianity does not always appear to be kind. Mind you, neither does much in the religious world at all, whether it's ISIS in Islam, Hindu nationalism in India, Buddhist nationalism in Myanmar, China persecuting Muslims, Christians all over. Another US pastor saying, "The coronavirus is an outbreak of God's punishment for sin in the world." Kindness is not much seen in religion. Nor indeed is it much seen in the human world at all. China's persecution of religion is not religious persecution. It's secular. Still not exactly kind, is it? We live in a harsh world. Bombs fall, missiles rain down, starvation stalks, diseases rampage, rich countries barricade themselves behind walls. Everywhere, division, self-assertiveness, old-style strongman leadership, Trump, Erdogan, Netanyahu, Bolsonaro, Orban, and on. The slogans of our day are "me and mine first." Lock 'em up, throw away the key, take back control. An atmosphere of not giving, but taking, not sharing, but keeping, not listening, telling. It is not kind. And in part, I think, it is because we are not very kind to ourselves. We have grown up, our culture has reinforced, often family life has reinforced the sense that we are not good enough, not pretty enough, not thin enough, not smart enough, not successful enough, and we turn it round and project it out to others. They are not good enough, those gay people. They are not pretty or thin enough, those women. They are not smart enough, those disabled people. They are not successful enough, those nations. We are not kind. God help us, we are not kind. Not to ourselves, not to one another, not to those weaker than us, not to those not like us. We are not kind. How then should we who name the name of Christ be kind? Maybe it begins by acknowledging first that the God in whom we believe is the same God now as he was in Hosea's time. Why not? We know that the world is much the same as ever it was. Destruction and so on continues. We know that we are much the same, with the same frailties as people were in ancient times. So why should we think that God is not the same? The God of Hosea, same as the God of Jesus, of Paul, of Luther, of today's world. Why should we not think that the spirit of words Hosea speaks on behalf of God, when Israel was a child, I loved him, how can I give you up, O Ephraim, echo in the words of Jesus, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. God is kind. Hesed in the Old Testament. Christos in the New. Kindness towards the folk of Hosea's day become kindness towards the folk of Jesus' day. Of course, Harry Moveley was only kidding. Of course, we need the New Testament, Jesus, but not so much because he represents a break with the past, more because he brings the God of the past into the new age, our age, a God who is kind. Then, maybe, we who believe need to be kind to ourselves, to make sure that our worship rings with the forgiveness of God, with the graciousness of God. From the first song, beloved and blessed, beloved and blessed, whatever, to the final hymn, praise to the Lord for his care of our kind, smile of a stranger and words full of grace. As we shall sing in a few minutes, just a few minutes, I promise. And you'll discover that it's about kindness to creation as well. We need to remember that whatever we have done, however it is for us, we are forgiven. Don't just go through the motions when we make confession in communion in a few minutes' time. Make it as if your life depended on it. And please accept God's forgiveness as if your life depended on it as well. Then, maybe, we'll be ready to show kindness to others. And maybe then they'll begin to see a church that reaches out to accept all and to accept anyone. And maybe they'll begin to hear about healing and reconciliation and restoration. And maybe then they will begin to see people who take the words of Jesus seriously. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And so on. And maybe then they will want to live in a world where people come together and accept each other for who they are. And maybe then they'll begin to realize that God is kind. And that in Christ who died and lives forever, he promises a new kingdom full of forgiveness and acceptance and kindness. And maybe then they'll start to believe in such a God and realize that they are forgiven and start to follow him in Christ Jesus. Will we follow him in Christ Jesus? Will we be kind?